Shalom Mishpacha. Shalom family. Mishpacha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpacha, the family with a Jewish heart. Oh God, it's so good to be free. We know the truth. And the truth has set us free. And I have a good friend on the telephone. I can't say I know him that well, but I can consider him a good friend primarily because I was a friend of his grandfather's, and I see a lot of similarity. My guest is Dr. Peter Wins. His grandfather is Dr. Derek Prince, who's been promoted to heaven. And when I got a hold of his latest book, it's quite a title, Peter.
Yes, it is.
Fighting Death and Other Desperate Battles. In your own words, why did you write this book?
Well, I came in contact with a couple, Ronnie and Clarice Holden, who by all natural means should have died, but they learned to pray, and they fought a spiritual battle, and they lived, and he lived. And I believe that there are so many people across the country who are fighting spiritual battles, and some of them, it's as if they're losing those battles, and they need to know how to fight. They need to know how to pray and put their faith in God.
Not only losing, but giving up, because they're not seeing victory around them, and it's it is a spiritual fight. It's not dealing with flesh and blood.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, the Bible says that death is our last enemy, and you have to fight enemies. But you know, we're not always trained to fight. People don't like conflict. They don't live for conflict. Humanity wasn't brought into a life of conflict. We love peace, and so when conflict comes before us, often we don't know how to fight. We don't know how to stand up, but we need to learn when we're faced with trauma and difficulty. And that's what spiritual warfare is all about, and that's what the book's all about.
Now, this story is basically about a man that stood no chance of survival. In fact, didn't the doctor tell his wife that he only had hours or days to live?
Yes, actually, many times. They had 14 different doctors working on him, and at one point they gave him 3 hours to live.
Just for those that haven't read the book,
yeah.
tell me just briefly his story. What happened to him?
Well, he was riding home late at night in his truck and from his business. He owns a restaurant just north of Myrtle Beach, and a drunk driver going 80 miles an hour T-boned him, and he went flying through the passenger's window and rolled on the ground. The truck came rolling behind him, took out a fire hydrant, and he was a real mess. His back was broken in two places. His pelvis was broken. His leg was shattered, and all his insides were bruised and tore up, his kidneys and his intestines and his liver and such. And they got him to the hospital, and then a short time after, he became very septic. He had peritonitis, and they had to rush him into operation. He went into a coma, and they opened him up, but they couldn't close him for 12 days, his stomach, because he was so swollen, and he was in such a mess. And the doctors just said, he cannot live. He cannot live. And that's where Clarice, his wife, stepped forward, and she says, Doctor, I need you to come into agreement with me for the life of my husband. And for a long time, the doctor says, I can't. He's just not going to live, ma'am. I'm very sorry. But she insisted. And finally, the doctor, he said, all right, we'll agree with you as much as we can. And they prayed and prayed, and they won the battle. And he's alive today, 6 years later, and doing fabulous.
If his wife had not understood what actually I consider your book a manual for desperate situations, if his wife did not do what she did, I happen to believe he'd be in heaven right now.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it in my mind. And it wasn't just the wife. It was also the whole church. You know, she stayed in the hospital for 52 days, slept on the couch in the waiting room, and every day, all day long and all night, the church had somebody with her. And they prayed. You know, they just stayed. They stayed in faith. And they listened to the Holy Spirit, and they prayed, and they gave thanks to the Lord, and they did what the Lord told them to do. through this whole thing, and they saw miracle after miracle after miracle.
Just as a matter of review, I personally considered your grandfather one of the best Bible teachers of anyone I've ever known or studied. What was his spin on healing? What did he believe?
Well, Grandpa Derek believed that if we met God's conditions, we would get God's blessings. And the more we lined up with God, the more we would get of his blessings. And because we don't get his blessings, it means that in some way we're missing out on what the Lord has for us. So he believed with all of his heart in absolute healing in every situation if we could find the heart of God and press through in agreement with him.
You know, I listened to a cassette this past weekend of a friend of mine who's battling cancer. He is a tremendous Bible teacher. His name is Jack Frost. And he said, this last year has been the best of times and the worst of times. The worst of times because of the pain, etc. But the best of times because finally he's learned what the book of Hebrews talks about, the Shabbat, the Sabbath rest. He's learned what it is to rest in God.
Yeah.
And it was so wonderful. But your book has, I have to call it a manual for those that are close to giving up or have hopeless situations in any arena.
Yes.
Now, you talk about a word that we hear a lot, but I don't think we really understand. It's called prayers of supplication.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Supplication is one of the seven types of prayer that I've discovered in the scriptures. And supplication itself means a desperate cry to God for help, for a miracle in a time of great trauma and crisis. It means a bowing of the heart, a taking hold of God. It means to wrestle with him, like Jacob wrestled with the angel and he won the battle and was blessed because of it.
Now, speaking of desperate prayer, you've prayed for a lot of people that have been sick,
yes,
that God has healed. But tell me about someone dead that you prayed for.
Yes, it was just a couple of years ago we were in a ministry time in Charlotte, North Carolina, and the meeting was going on quite late because we had hundreds and hundreds of people that we were praying for, and I was kneeling down on the ground beside somebody who was, you know, receiving some ministry, and this man came up behind me. He's a good friend now. His name is Marvin Rollins, and he came up behind me, and he says, "Peter, I'm not feeling well." I turned around and saw him, and his whole body was covered in perspiration. The church was air-conditioned. It was cool in there, but he had perspiration on his neck, on the back of his hands. He was having a heart attack. I had seen this before. And we actually had a nurse there, a heart ward nurse there, who verified all of these things later. I immediately stood up and had him sit down on the side of the platform, and I got a cloth and started wiping his brow. And at the same time, I was just rebuking the demon spirits that I could see were attacking him and wanting to take his life. And while I had one hand behind him, because he was swooning, and you could see he was losing the battle, and he died. His pulse stopped. The nurse was there. She took his vital signs. And I just rebuked the spirit of death, and I said, "You spirit of death, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus." I said, "I command life to come into you." And he just took a gasp like that, and immediately his eyes had life in them again, and his heart started again, and he started to breathe again. And within a minute, he sat up, and he just got better and better and better. He stayed for the next 2 days. He never went to intensive care at the hospital. And when the conference was over, I talked with him. I said, "Marvin, when you get home, would you go see a doctor and let us know what has happened?" And he did. 2 weeks later, we got the report, and he said, "My doctor said, it's amazing. The condition of my heart has changed, my physical heart." He said, "I have no longer any high blood pressure. I don't have any high cholesterol problems." And he said, "On top of all that, my back that was severely full of pain and had a lot of problems with it. He said it's totally been healed as well, and it was amazing. So I've seen him several times since then over the last couple of years, and he's just rejoicing in the Lord.
Peter, what is the biggest lesson, and there's so many lessons we can learn as you wrote up about the great miracle of Ron Holden. What's the biggest lesson you learned from that?
Well, there's a story that Jesus tells concerning prayer. And he said that there was a widow lady who felt that, well, she was unjustly treated. And she went to the judge, and the judge didn't pay any attention. But she kept nagging and nagging and pressing in and asking. And finally the judge, who was not a great judge, but he said because the woman was nagging him, he finally acquiesced and said, okay, I'm going to help you. And he brought justice to her situation. And Jesus told this strange story. And then he said, I want you to pray like that. I want you to continue to come knocking on the door like this woman did to a God who is just. And I think what happens is that when we push into God, if we do it with faith in our hearts and with thanksgiving in our hearts, then even though we might not begin having the keys to unlock the doors that need to be unlocked, I think God will many times give us those keys as we walk with him, and amazing things can happen.
Briefly, because it's a new book, tell me one person and the effect it had on them when they read your book, Fighting Death and Other Desperate Battles.
Yeah, many people have been blessed, but one in particular is the story of a man up in the Pittsburgh area whose life was hanging in the balance, and somebody in his family or one of his friends got a hold of this book and read it. And because of that, they decided to go into fifth gear in their prayer. They decided to fight for his life in a whole new way. They gained faith, and they prayed and prayed, and within a week, his whole situation turned around, and he was brought back from the brink of death.
Listen, you have someone in your life that is fighting for their life, fighting for their marriage, fighting for their business, fighting for their children. This book is a mentoring tool that will cause your faith to soar. For a donation of $16, order the book, Fighting Death and Other Desperate Battles. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or archives of our radio and TV shows, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.